mighty revelation.
The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, July 16, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
The world, the Spirit is moving all over the world, as the prophet said would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship this morning. It's a beautiful day. Been a little warm for us from Wyoming, but you know, I guess we're all dealing. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the many blessings we have that have been bestowed upon us. Help us to remember that the best things in life are not things. Help us to be the hands and feet of Christ as we minister together here in Rock Springs, and help us to know thy will and the courage to do thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. There are blessings you cannot receive till you know him in his fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Today's reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last week, I sort of started a series, and it was talking about the struggle within. And it's the struggle of every believer, and that struggle is between good and evil, right and wrong. And that struggle, I told you, always exists, and it doesn't go away. And as a matter of fact, I would be worried if I didn't have it. For it's one of those things that is part of living our faith out and living as Christians, is that struggle that Paul talks about in chapter 7, of the struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. And the Spirit thinks one thing and the flesh does another. And Paul really gives us some personal insight into even the Apostle Paul struggling with this. And the struggle, again, is evident of our not being complacent with continuing in sin. I really would tell you that if you enjoy sin and continue in it and seek it out, then probably you haven't received Christ in the Holy Spirit within your life. For it'll convict you of those things. It'll tell you you're not comfortable with that. It'll tell you back away from that, step away. There'll be that nagging, that struggle. And that struggle doesn't go away. And that's what Paul gets to in chapter 8. And this morning I start one of the next, which will be three in total, messages on this chapter 8 of Romans. Anita was reading an introduction from her Bible in Sunday school this morning, and it said that this is the most wonderful whole chapter of any of the books in the whole of the Bible. Well, maybe yes and maybe no. Kind of depends. There are some difficult things that we're going to talk about in this chapter. Maybe when we get done, you will agree that it is one of the most wonderful chapters in the whole of the Bible. Paul's transitioning here. Paul's now going to say, since that struggle's there, since that struggle don't go away, and if you came hoping that I'd tell you there wouldn't be a struggle between good and bad and right and wrong and the Spirit and the flesh, then you came to get the wrong answer, because it's there. It's not going away. But you got to figure out what to do with it, right? You don't care? Don't matter? How many of you face the struggle? Raise your hand if you face the struggle. Some of you don't. Think about that. So if you face the struggle, how many of you want an answer to it? Anybody? Say amen if you do. If not, we'll just go home. We'll do one of Trinity sermons. Jesus lived, died, amen, let's go. You know, you won't waste your time and keep you here all day. The reality is we face the struggle. If we're going to face the struggle, then what do we do with it? Joyce Meyer, and I'm going to quote this, Carrie shared it with me this morning, I'm going to try to get it right, said, we're going to face the struggle whether we go through the changes, through the struggle and grow through it, or we're going to face the struggle of failure. We could pick one. You're still going to go through it. You're still going to have the battle. So you can choose to be victorious or lose. Remember, two choices. So which one do you want? If you want to be the winner of it, stay tuned. If not, you can go have a cookie. We'll give you a chance. Oh, wait a minute. If you don't want to, you cannot have a cookie. Don't want to bait you, and Trinity's thinking right now, cookies? No, Trinity's not, but Nicholas is, isn't he? He's thinking cookies right now. I guarantee you he's thinking cookies. So let's look at chapter 8 for just a minute, the first 11 verses. Some things I want you to underline if you've got your book. If not, maybe write it down. I want you to underline chapter 8, verse 1. I want you to underline that. Verse 1 of chapter 8, underline it. There is therefore. So we're moving in because, as a result of Paul's training. Now, because it happens, we have this struggle, there's some things that are going to happen. So it is therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The whole book of Romans is predicated on the fact that it's written to believers. It's written to people who have accepted Christ. It is written to people like us who face that struggle. It is written to that believing community in Rome, churches gathered around, house churches, to them who struggle, who face that. And folks, I got news for you. If you say you don't face it and you have Jesus in your heart, then you're not being true to yourself. You're not being true to Him. Because it's there. And it's okay that it's there. It's not a shame. It's not a bad thing. Don't get prideful and say it isn't there. That's worse. You know, you can't heal based on a lie. And then let's go down to verse 5 and 6 and underline those two. Verse 5 and 6 and underline those two. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death. What are the wages of sin? Death. Yeah, and by the way, Dennis and I were talking about this earlier. Methodist, you can talk in service. You can actually, you know, speak out and answer questions. To set the mind on flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is two things. Life and peace. Life and peace. Now then, there's two more words to underline. Verse 10. That huge English word, if. But if. Underline if. But if. But if. 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 And then, verse 11, the first word, if. If. Underline if. Let's start with if this morning. Because this is the important piece. Let's look at what it says. But if Christ is in you, that's where it starts. If Christ is in you, that's where it begins. I can't give you help for trials, tests, troubles, temptations, addictions, grief, moaning, scrum. I can't give you any help for any of that if Christ isn't in your heart, because there's no help for it. There's no peace for it. There's no strength for it. There's no joy in it. There's no purpose for it. You can't see any good in it. You can't see that Romans 8:28 is true. You can't see any of those things if Christ isn't in you, because that's where it begins. It begins with our decision to accept Christ as our Savior, not earn Him. We have to accept Christ as our Savior. You can't earn, you can't do enough. You can't be on enough church committees. You can't get enough plaques on enough things that you donate. You can't do it. It begins with that personal relationship with Christ. If Christ, if, so we start with the if, but if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, don't worry about the flesh. Don't worry about it at all. Don't worry about the cares and the troubles of this world. They're temporary. How many of you figured that out already? You figure out it's temporary, it changes, doesn't it? It always does. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Your righteousness, my righteousness. God's righteousness in Christ Jesus, accepting what he did. And if, back to that again, choice here, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it's accepting the Holy Spirit. Now, let's fix something. It's if. You got to accept it. It's a package deal. You accept what Jesus did for you, you get a gift. You get the Holy Spirit. And that isn't some whimsical, topsy-turvy, windy, blowy thing. That's an entity. That's a person. That's a real person of the Trinity. You got God the Father, got that picture, got Jesus the Son, but you got the Holy Spirit. That's a real entity. That isn't the wind blowing across or a flake of snow falling. No, it's a real entity. It's a person. Why does it have to be a person? How many of you can get to know a thing? Come on. Surely you can get to know this book. You can get to know this book, can you not? Can you get to know this book? Sure, but can it get to know you? Can it get to know you? Does it even care about you? But you can get to know it, can't you? And you might even say, I love that book. How many of you got your favorite book? I got mine. It's all the Bible. I like it. It's a little different than my other ones. Some of them romance things people read, it's really different. Well, you know, sometimes it's not. If you read it close, you see the Holy Spirit can't be a thing because the Holy Spirit knows you. And the Holy Spirit guides you and cares about you and empowers you and communicates. And when you can't pray and you're down on your knees and all you can do is say, oh, my God, my God, my God, the Holy Spirit can communicate with God so it comes to know you. Do you see? The Holy Spirit isn't a thing. The Holy Spirit's a real person of the Godhead. Preacher, I don't understand that. Well, you don't have to. You just have to believe it. It isn't about figuring it out. How many of you believe that atoms can pass through that wall? Anybody? I got one, two, three. How many of you ain't sure? But you believe it, don't you? Do you know how you know? The temperature changes in the room. Something comes through, doesn't it? If it's hot outside, what happens in here? If it can't get through, what changes? How many of you got furniture that's faded in the sun? How'd that happen? How many of you have ever got sun burned? Yeah, well, how'd that happen? Ultraviolet. Can you see it? But you know it's there, right? You see the results. The Holy Spirit, it's real. It's within us. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we've received the Holy Spirit. You can squish it. You can tell it to shut up. You can put it outside. You can do whatever you want to, but it's still there. It doesn't go away just because you tell it to be quiet. It's still there. It's going to nag you if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Christ. How many of you have tried to get away from the Holy Spirit? Anybody besides me? Have you ever had the Holy Spirit tell you you need to do something you didn't want to? Anybody like, how'd you get out of it? I'm standing here today, 20-odd years later, as a pastor. I tried everything to get out of it. Where are you going to go to hide from God? Have you not learned that sooner or later, you might as well give in? Haven't you? You know, it's finally going to happen if you believe in Jesus. So the first thing is, number one, Paul says, therefore, there is no condemnation in those, and I want you to underline this for sure, for those who are in Christ Jesus because of the sacrifice of Christ. It don't matter if you make mistakes. Bear with me. It doesn't matter if you sin. You're not condemned because the blood of Christ washes them away. And that raises the big question is, okay, if it don't matter, so I can do whatever I want, right? You know, I got to get out of hell free card, and I'm not going to toast it eternity. I'm going to sit back and cool it with some lemonade, iced tea, or your favorite beverage down next to the river where the river of life flows through and the trees shed leaves of all the day, and you're just going to enjoy it despite how you live, right? That's how it's going to work, right? Yeah, come on. You know that's the ticket. I mean, all you got to do is just say, I believe in Jesus, and go get drunk, right? Go punch somebody in the nose, right? Go steal something, right? I mean, go do some drugs or something. Isn't that what we can go do whatever we want to do once we get Jesus, because we're not condemned, right? Well, if you can do that, you didn't get Jesus. If you can go do whatever you want to with no consequences and no thoughts of it, you haven't received Christ. You're yet in your sin and on your way to hell. That's the way it is. Therefore, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. But let me warn you, good Christians, believers, there may not be any condemnation. That sin may be forgiven. But I got news for you. The devil's going to remind you when you mess up. Anybody know that one? Has he ever played the tapes for you? How unworthy you are? Oh, come on. You folks are scared. What are you scared of? We're just real people here this morning. He's never played a tape for you and said you're not worthy of his love. Look what a dirty rat. I should go to Sunday school, but I don't. Oh, my. You know, I should serve on something in the church. I should get involved, but I don't. I should really tithe. I should really give to the church, but I don't. And the devil shows up and says, you see there? You're really not a good Christian. And God's ticked at you. And then he's even got a better trick. Because you're not doing what you think you should be doing. And now you feel guilty for not doing it. And the devil's reminding you you're not doing it. Then every time something goes wrong, the devil's going to see, God don't really love you, or he wouldn't let that happen. Been there? Been there? You have, haven't you? And the devil keeps, I call them circle conversations, going. And he reminds you of how lousy you are. And you are. And so am I. I'm a sinner. Saved by grace, and I struggle every day, but I'm not condemned for it. I'm redeemed from it. Do I like the things that I do that I don't want to do? No. Do I like losing my temper? No. Do I like getting angry at people who can't drive and shouldn't have a driver's license? No. Or people who have a driver's license that shouldn't? No. You know, it amazes me how somebody can sit through a green light in Rock Springs, Wyoming, and then just as it changes, they take off. And cars are trying, you know, it's amazing. You know, where were they? And you know what's really bad is when you look up there and they're sitting there in a green light and they got their phone up there going, I don't want to blow the horn. People carry guns here. You know, they may shoot you or something. Or you may scare them, and they run out and hit somebody, you know, something like that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict you of those things you should not do, but don't let the devil play the tapes. For in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned for it. Don't be comfortable with it. Repent from it. Try to change. Try to grow. But don't let the devil hold you down because you're not perfect. God knows you're not perfect, and he's glad you're still here. What's that quote, Carrie? It is good that you're... Did you know God don't make junk? So you ain't junk. Don't let the devil fool you. Well, Pastor, I can't do this. Well, so what? Do what you can. Do the best you can with what you can, and God will bless it if you give it to him. If you give it to him, if you'll let him. Even a little guy can be a big blessing to someone. Trinity and I were sitting talking last night, and she's reading this devotion book. She got this FCA camp this summer, and it's in her Bible. And we were talking about feeding the 5,000, five barley loaves and two fish. The only person that was prepared to be out all day that day was that little boy. Them grown-ups didn't bring a thing to eat. And the disciples said, send them away. And Jesus said, you feed them. Now, how would you be taxed with feeding 5,000 plus people on the spur of the moment? Come on. You could do it, couldn't you? So you go take a little boy's lunch. And you go bring it to Jesus. This is all we got. And guess what happened? It was plenty. Don't ever think for a moment that you have nothing to give. That's a lie from the devil. Folks, I got news for you. Sometimes the greatest blessing you can be in somebody's life is a smile. Sometimes the greatest blessing you can be in your whole life is to sit down with somebody and never say a word. My granny said it's the power of padding. Anybody know what that is? Oh, you're not from the South. The power of padding. Scoot over, honey. I've got to show them the power of padding. You folks pay attention. You're going to learn something here. Something. Did you hear that word? I just drove some English teacher crazy, didn't I? Language teacher. Something. You're going to learn something. I'm crying with you. You're supposed to be crying too. It's the power of padding, the power of presence, the power of being there, the power of sharing that moment without a single word being said. It's that you cared enough to come alongside somebody and pat them on the hand, pat them on the leg, pat them on the back, and let them know you're there. Let them know you care. It's the power of love and grace. That's what is in Christ Jesus. He comes to pat you in the middle of your problems. He comes to give you strength in the middle of your temptations, and he comes to defeat the devil's lies. So don't listen to him. Tell him to flee. When he starts telling you you're not worthy, remind him of the cross, that it's empty and the tomb's empty. When he tells you you're not worth redeeming, tell him Jesus said that's not true. Get away from me, Satan, for the life is in the Spirit that dwells in you, and you are not condemned. It don't matter what the world says. It don't matter what anybody says. It matters what God says, and he says in Christ Jesus, I've wiped it all. I'm not holding against you. If you are in Christ, if Christ is in you, you are not condemned. Don't listen to him. Put him out of your mind. Tell him to get lost. I got my problems. I got my struggles, but me and God, we working this out. Can you remember to do that? Greater is he who is in you and me than he who is in the world. It's the power of the pat and the presence. It's life and spirit. And you know what else will come in the midst of that? I had you underline it. It says it's going to give you life. You can live. Folks, there's some stuff we need to be forgiven for. There's some stuff we've done that we need to let go of. There's some baggage we're carrying, people's done to us, and people come up short. Remember, they're like you. They ain't perfect. Remember, they make mistakes just like me. Let it go. You can't carry it. Shoulders aren't big enough. Life's too long to carry all of that mess. Lighten it up and live with Christ. Let it go. And don't let the devil keep bringing it up. Don't let him be historic with you. You make a mistake, you suffer the consequences, move on. Move on. Move on. Don't get stagnant and still. Don't get in that quagmire of the devil says you're not worthy and all of that stuff, because you need the next piece. Life and peace. Folks, that tells you that you're making the right decision, that you're doing the right thing. For the Spirit will convict you when you're not, and it'll give you peace when you are. It'll let you know if I made that phone call and it was the right thing to do, but it'll convict you that you didn't do what you should have, and there'll be peace, or there'll be an absence of peace. How many know this trick? It isn't a trick, it's the way it is. In the midst of the darkest, deepest, darkest parts of your life, you can still know that peace. And it's a peace that surpasses understanding. But and if Christ is in you. If you're seeking God's will and don't listen to the world, don't let them beat you up. Don't listen to the naysayers and the judgmental people. Don't listen to the armchair critics that sometimes the devil sends your way. And certainly don't listen to his lies. He was whispering to Eve in the garden, and he's still doing it today. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Know that Christ died for you, and God's love is proof. Accept Christ as Savior, God as Father, and the real person of the Trinity that not only gets to know you, wants to get to know you, speaks with God and talks with God. For the Holy Spirit is life and peace. So life equals the Spirit within us. Folks, we're all going to die. We're going to check out of this thing. You know, if the Lord don't come back, we're all going to go on to be with the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? This body may die, but this soul will not. For us as Christians, and Paul will later say, to die is gain. For us as Christians, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear condemnation and judgment. For in Christ Jesus, we've been set free. But you know, the Christian community needs to learn a lesson that we don't often know. We need to forgive each other and others. We need to express the same forgiveness that we've received. We need to express the same understanding that we have received. Folks, we're not all on the same page every Sunday, are we? We're at different places. Nobody has a room here to say that person didn't dress right, or that person didn't act right, or that person didn't do as they should. How many of us have that space? Do you know that's what keeps people out of church? They get more acceptance at a beer joint than they do in the house of God, regretfully. They get more understanding from a bartender than they do a good old Christian sitting fossilized on a pew. That shouldn't be so. Folks, this is a house for the critically ill. We should be bringing them in, letting them find Jesus, and letting Jesus change their lives, that they could have life and peace, forgiveness and healing, redemption and grace. That's the jewel of the church. Part one, the struggle remains, but there's not condemnation because you made mistakes, but that shouldn't make you want to make more. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if, and but if, then you've been set free. Redeemed by what he did, not what you do. But what you do should be a result of what he did. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. Father, as we come to close this time of our first and maybe this series of life and spirit, Father, I want to pray for this church and praying for each one of us this morning, that we know that if we have accepted Christ as Savior and Redeemer, if we have accepted his sacrifice, and Father, our sins have been forgiven, we have received the Holy Spirit. It came. It is there. It is present. Maybe we don't know what to do with it. Maybe we don't know what its role is in our life. But this we do know is it's a part of your love. It's a part of your presence. It's a part of your power. It cares for us. And it walks with us. And it isn't a thing. It's a person. And its name is Holy Spirit. You called it the Comforter. For how could it be a comforter if it doesn't know us? So, Father, this entity of the Spirit is within us. Father, let us know that yes, we may have done and we may do things that are not pleasing to you. But Father, let us not hear the accuser, Satan, put us down and beat us down, for it is good that we are here. It is by your love and grace. And Father, help us to extend that to others, not just ourselves, not just the ones we want to. For Christ died for all, that all may be redeemed and that all would believe. But Father, give us the burden of the grace and the message of love and forgiveness. Let you do the work of redeeming and changing and cleansing and cleaning and strengthening and forgiving and healing. For it takes a while sometimes. Sometimes the journey is on and off. Sometimes, Father, it's too hard. And sometimes we do fall back. But Father, that spirit that's there will continue to work within us. It'll continue to nag at us in those silent times. So Father, empower us to hear and to listen to your spirit within us, not the adversary's lies. For it's about what Christ did and our accepting of that that gives us life in the Spirit. Hear our hearts and prayers this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the Spirit, and may that life be the light of Christ. May His peace be with you as well as the life that He gives. And may that be the peace that surpasses all understanding that Christ alone can give us. May Christ truly be in you. May you embrace this Holy Spirit that comes with that acceptance. And now may you go in grace and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.